intelligently offers its listeners interesting discussions on important topics.
Hey there, this is Brian Del Turco, your host for the Jesus Smart X podcast, with a personal invitation to quest with us everywhere podcasts are heard and at jesussmart.com. Hey, let's get real. For some of you, God is inviting you to take a leap of faith on something and you've not taken that step yet. And I'm guessing you're bored and likely a little miserable. Ask me how I know. Your misery can be an expression of God's grace in your life. It can be a gift. Some of you have taken that leap, and of course, it's been a wild ride, and you're processing everything that's happening, and today's guest is going to help you with that. For others, the leap is at some point in your near or intermediate future, and you may not know that yet, or maybe you do see it coming right over your life horizon, and this episode is going to help you prime up for that. Rachel G. Scott is a wife, a mother, a Bible teacher, entrepreneur. She loves to help men and women navigate their God-given callings. She's dynamic, and you can check out her site at rachelgscott.com. Now, can I say this? We need people. We need the sons and daughters of God to show up fully alive in this hour. Together, we need to leave it all on the floor of the arena. We are in an era in which each of us needs to get into our arena and fully engage. Welcome, friend, to episode 306 of the Jesus Smart X podcast. You may notice a tweak in the name, the X. What is the X? Well, it's many things. One of the main things is that it is a variable, and that variable is you, linked up with Christ. I'm your host, Brian Del Turco, and you know the edge here. Jesus Christ is alive, He's King, and He's brilliant for all of life. And you and I together, we can develop as intimate friends and co-agents in His kingdom. That's right, you have agency. Check out the show notes at jesussmart.com/306 for all the links and ways to take this episode's theme further. Now, are you on the edge of something that feels a little terrifying? Good. I say good. God likes that space for you and I when He's inviting or maybe thrusting us into something new. Enjoy. Here's Rachel G. Scott. Rachel is a friend from the past. I'm really grateful to get back in touch, Rachel, and your husband, Willie. I love his spirit. You know, I love his energy. How are you doing today, Rachel? It's so good to have you.
Thank you so much. I'm doing well. We have a nice, bright day outside in Ohio, so that makes for a good day. But I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, yeah. It's great to have you. And yes, I know the weather makes such a difference, doesn't it? Yesterday
it
was the yesterday was the antithesis of today, I think.
Right? It was.
And the sun matters, and I'm a big fan of getting that vitamin D from that great vitamin D pill in the sky, if you know what I mean.
Yes, me too.
She's a wife, a mother, a Bible teacher, an entrepreneur, and she loves to help men and women navigate their God-given callings. She's a BS, a Bachelor of Science from Kansas State, and an MBA from the University of Mary. And she's the founder of the I Can't Come Down movement. I think I know what that's about. Nehemiah, right?
Yep.
And she's a podcast host, Bible teacher, as we mentioned. And she just desires to motivate, catalyze believers to, you know, walk in their assignment, walk in their purpose. We need everybody to show up right now, don't we, Rachel? And leave it
all. Yes, we do.
Leave it all on the field. I mean, is this 2024 and the 20s? This is a time to really take risk and really fulfill callings, isn't it?
Yes, 100%. This is the time. I mean, we are in the days where we got to step into all that God has called us to do. So, yes, we do.
I love her theme. It's going to challenge me personally, I know. And I'm taking the five leaps and really cultivating and developing a leaping lifestyle, she calls it.
Yeah.
We're going to really highlight that and underscore that at the end. But give us the Cliff's Notes on that just right away, if you would, Rachel, just a sentence or two. What is the leaping lifestyle?
Yes. So that is what I believe we've all been called to take. That is what Jesus did. He lived a leaping lifestyle. And so we're all called to be ready to take leaps all the time. It is really this idea that, you know, when we go to school, when we are younger, we go from second to third to fourth grade and we don't think anything of it. It's just a natural part. Mm-hmm. But then when we become adults, we get restricted a little bit and we start to think that taking leaps is not okay. We want stability. We want security. We want all of those things. But I believe that as children of God, we are always called to live a leaping lifestyle because we want to be in the spaces and places where people are that need Jesus. And a lot of times that's stepping outside of our comfort zone. So that's really the big idea is we are called to live a leaping lifestyle.
Mm. I'm really interested in this. And I heard somebody say just the other day on a podcast, you know, sort of a national Christian leader say that he wasn't using the language of leaping, but he was really talking about this concept that if we don't take risk or if we don't, you know, advance in our assignments and callings, that it could actually be unhealthy for us, he was saying. Mm. It could actually. Do you agree with that? That it could be unhealthy? It could be.
Yes.
There could be a negative effect in our lives.
Yeah, you know, I never thought about that way, but when I think of people who I know are not stepping into all God has called them to, yes, because to me, we then become led by fear instead of faith. And anytime you're led by fear and you're led by just, we don't have a reassurance in the nature of God, then that just gives the enemy room to plant so many seeds of doubt and insecurity and uncertainty. And we live out when we live our life through that lens. Mm. And that's not healthy at all, you know? So I would have to 100% agree with what they're saying. We think that taking the leaps itself or taking the leap, whichever one he's calling you to, is where we would experience something that could create just challenge later. But really, when I consider seasons of my life where I didn't step into what God called me to do, that is where I had even greater challenges in my mind and other areas of my life because I wasn't planted where what God wanted me to be.
Interesting. You know, I've heard you say that a long time ago. By a long time ago, I mean 3, 4, 5 years, whenever I heard you say that before, because you didn't take a move on something earlier, that there was stuff you were having to clean up and work through.
Yeah.
That's kind of what you're saying, right?
Yes, absolutely. And oftentimes what I find is when I'm asking God, what next, what now, what next, what now, he'll take me back to that moment and he'll say, okay, I need you to do the last thing that I told you to do, because he's not going to just move ahead because I want to skip steps, right? And so there have been seasons of my life where I know that the reason I was enduring certain challenges was because I did not step into what he wanted me to do next or go into the next thing. I wanted to be where it was most comfortable and where I believed I was not having to endure pain or any kind of suffering, because that's what I, in my mind, thought was happening or going to happen when I stepped into whatever it was he wanted me to do, because that's what it might have looked like because I didn't have all the details.
Hmm. Kind of on a sidebar here, but it's like you're saying that, you know, if we fail to do something which feels and seems dangerous or risky, that there can actually be a spillover effect into marriage, parenting, other domains of our life.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Because here's what I want to encourage listeners to know, that we are not on an island on our own. So things that we do will impact those around us.
Absolutely.
Things that we don't do impact those around us. So there's things right now that, you know, I haven't done, or that if I choose not to do, well, then it becomes a responsibility of my children to do. Or if I choose not to do, then my kids don't have certain things. And so that's in every area. And that includes leaps. I know someone who they felt called to move to a different state. Mm-hmm. Well, what they didn't know was that what their kids needed to cultivate the giftings that was within them was in that new state. Mm-hmm. So had they not done that, and had they not pressed through, you know, all that was necessary for that to take place, where their child is at now, and their children was actually more than one, where their children are at now, that may not have happened. And they would have still been trying to press through some of the barriers that they were feeling where they were at.
It's all connected, man. That's challenging. Your book, Taking the Five Leaps, published by Moody Publishers and just out, right? Just out like last week. But whenever you're hearing
two days ago.
All right. And we're in a leap year. We're going to embellish that a little bit, right? Do a little wordplay.
Yes, we are.
We're in a leap year. So this is a great year to take a leap. But hey, look, just look around into the culture. Look at society. Look what's happening in the church world. I mean, it doesn't need to be an extra day in February to make it a time to leap. I mean, we're in a great need of some risk taking and people to show up in a big way. Yeah. I really appreciate this book. So what is the story behind this book? What brought you to the place where you developed these ideas and actually published this book?
Yeah. So there are several things, but there's two main things that I would say. The first one is just my own personal story, my life. I've lived a leaping lifestyle, and I know the emotional challenges that could come with that and the overwhelm and the unknowns that come with that. But there was a season where I had this writer's community, and within the writer's community, I would do, you know, full sessions with everyone. Then I would have one-on-ones. And I remember talking to one lady in particular. She was a healthcare worker. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about just this idea that she wanted to go into full-time writing. And she was asking me, is that the only option I have to walk away from my job as a healthcare worker to go into full-time writing? Is that the only way that I can be obedient to this nudging that I'm feeling from the Holy Spirit to do my writing? And after that call, you know, I encouraged her and prayed with her. But after that call, that really resonated with me because I had been in her shoes before. I knew exactly what she was trying mm-hmm. to process through. Her heart was to want to honor God. And so after that, I want to say it was maybe a couple weeks later. There's two things that I always do. I ask God questions and I pray, right? So I prayed and okay. I said, Lord, yeah. Is this the only way someone can obey what you've called them to do?
All right.
Is to walk away from everything. And then the second question I ask them is, who else in the Bible has taken other types of leaps? And during that time and throughout the weeks, he began to show me other types of leaps that people in the Bible had taken, and they were still obeying the call of God in their life.
Okay. So we tend to think like it has to be in this one sort of way, but not necessarily, right? It could be something creative.
Right. So that's where the five leaps comes in. There's five types of leaps. Okay. And I can go ahead and
sure.
share that.
What are those?
There's the fisherman's leap, the tent maker, the builder, the shepherd, and the trailblazer. So just so I can unpack them real quick for mm-hmm. you. The fisherman's leap is based off of Peter. And it's basically when you completely leave your career and you step into the calling. That's the one that everyone thinks they have to do. Mm-hmm. And there are some that need to do that. Mm-hmm. Then there's the tent maker leap, which is based on Paul. And it's when your career and your calling occupy space in the same season. So you're working full time, but you may start a business or write a book, or you're doing something else when you get off work or during your lunch break. But they're in the same season, and you know you're supposed to be doing both.
Right.
Then we have the builder's leap, which is based on Nehemiah, and it's a temporary leap where you temporarily leave your career to do whatever it is he's calling you to do, whether it's the homeschool or to take care of a loved one or write a book or anything, but then you go back into that career. And oftentimes I find that people who have taken the builder's leap, they become tent makers as well. So those work kind of parallel with each other.
Okay.
And then we have the shepherd's leap, which is based on Abraham. And that's when you relocate, when God is giving you new territory. And the trailblazer's leap, and that's Jesus. And he's done all the leaps. And now that you've done all four leaps, you are to disciple other people and to help them walk and live out the leaping lifestyle.
Okay. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that Satan doesn't like a leaping lifestyle in the kingdom. Am I safe in mm-hmm. saying that? I mean, I think it makes him nervous and it moves the needle on the kingdom. I don't think he likes it.
I don't think he does either. You know, because the goal of it is, you know, I think about just what is it that God has us here for? And the reason is because he doesn't want anyone to be lost. And because he doesn't want anyone to be lost, he's going to call us to do whatever is necessary to bring people into the body of Christ. And mm-hmm. Satan doesn't like that. So he's giving you the opportunity to partner with him and bringing his sheep into the fold. And really, of course, the enemy is not going to want that. So he's going to bring all of these different emotions and fears and uncertainties so that you're not confident in the fact that God is good and he is faithful. And this is his plan to begin with.
Yes. So this book is coming out of a laboratory of your personal life as well as ministering to others, the laboratory experience, if I could put it that way, of different seasons in the past, ministering to others along these lines. Can you share what may be the most, is there a most challenging leap that you've taken?
100%.
Okay.
I want to say that all leaps are difficult. You know, I want to start off with that. I don't necessarily think that it ever becomes easy on this side of eternity, which is why the trailblazer leap is so important to disciple others and to help them walk through that. But I think of when Willie and I, and those of, you know, Brian, you already know Willie, but mm-hmm. those of you that don't know, that's my husband. when we stepped into full-time ministry. So we were both working full-time jobs. He was a property manager and I was a full-time high school teacher. Okay. And at that time we were tent makers. We started our blended family ministry together. We were working, that was helping to fund the ministry. So we were tent makers, but then, and that was hard as well. So there was no part of this that wasn't, that was easy. Being the tent maker was hard because we were pouring funds into this ministry that we were hoping would grow and become something more, right? And that was a sacrifice. But then God called us to step away from that. He called Willie out first. And it was more of a builder's leap for him to help take care of our son, but also to really dedicate himself to building this ministry more. And then maybe like 6-7 months later, he called me out. And I look back at that season and it was hard. It was uncomfortable, but I know that it was the will of God. And there were so many moments of the evidence of God's goodness and his faithfulness through that journey that led to today.
So you've not only taken these aggressive leaps, you've seen God's faithfulness through it on the other side of it. And I think a great question to ask, Rachel, I bet you agree, is like, what's on the other side of your leap?
That's a great question. The first thing I would say is your obedience, to know that you have obeyed what God has called you to do.
Okay.
There's something in that. But on the other side of that is that when I look back at the leap we took together, Willie ended up going back. So his initial leap, we both thought we were fishermen, like this is it. But his was more of a builder's leap. He went back to work. And mine was a fisherman's leap. And I started the ministry. And that ministry became, you know, the ministry helped evolve what is now this book. So the ministry in the book came out of me being willing to take that leap. Mm-hmm. I didn't see everything. So what I would say is on the other side of that is the very thing you don't see that God wants to do in your life, but he needs you to take the leap in order to even begin to step into it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the first step. And let's think about God for a second, because we're always thinking about ourselves, right? Our end of the
year. Right.
But this is an equation. This is a partnership between heaven and earth, this God-humanity thing we're in. Going back to the Garden of Eden. And it will always be like that in the new heavens and the new earth, I'm trying to understand the Bible, but that's what it seems like to me. And so what does God get out of these leaps? I mean, we're always processing our own lives and thinking about ourselves and our family and this earthly experience that we're in. Yeah. But what does God get out of it?
He gets the glory.
Okay.
He gets the glory because everything that we do on this side of eternity, and when we get to heaven, it is to glorify God. And when we get to leave, it's just like with Noah. What did God get out of that? You know, at the end of it, he got the glory out of it. He got the glory out of Noah stepping into something that seemed like he was the only one. For 100 years, he built this ark. Mm-hmm. And it was like everyone thought he was crazy. But when the floods came, God got the glory out of that.
Yeah.
Everyone then knew, oh, he was really that was God. This is the God that he worshiped. So everything we do should point people back to Jesus. It should point people back to God getting the glory. So when God tells me to walk away from my job, you know, or when God tells me not to walk away, but to start this ministry while I'm still working and I feel like my time is restricted, I have to remind myself that this is so that God can be glorified through my life and through what I'm doing. But it's also that he gets the glory mm-hmm. out of the stories that he's having us write.
Yes, yes. And it's contributing to the greater meta story, if we could put it that way, of God's unfolding kingdom. And
yes,
our life is like a subplot in that. And yeah, he gets glory and recognition.
Yes.
And we are to serve the Lord with gladness. I was reading this mm-hmm. recently, you know, this is a theme that kind of pops up pretty fair amount of times in the scriptures. Serve the Lord with gladness. And even if it is a sacrifice, I was talking with a few people recently, and we were talking about just the sacrifice of a kingdom cluster of people meeting together. Yeah, it takes time. It takes energy. Sometimes you got to work through situations in your own, you know, your own inner character. But it's, you know, worth it to achieve that state of fellowship and koinonia and unity that the Holy Spirit works on powerfully. I mean, it's like I was kind of posing the question, well, you know, since since when is anything in the kingdom not a sacrifice? And doesn't
right
doesn't God fall on a sacrifice when it's acceptable to him? Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I so maybe somebody's thinking, I would encourage people to just go by instinct, like what's surfacing right away as you hear this conversation. And that's yeah. That may be fairly accurate, what you need to process and deal with. If someone is thinking about something or thinking about a step or a leap, how can they learn to recognize when God is, you know, inviting them to take that leap?
Yeah, I would say, you know, always start everything with prayer and seeking God, right? But the other thing, there's four ways that I believe we can recognize that, and that is through inconveniences. There are moments that we consider to be an inconvenience, but it's really like a setup that God is wanting us to pay attention to something.
Okay.
The other thing is a divine encounter. We know that there are times where we just know that God is encountering us, in whether it is in church, at home, and we just have this divine moment that we know God is speaking to us very clearly something he wants us to do.
Right.
And that's an invitation. That is completely an invitation. Then I would say suddenly moments. I know a lot of people who God has led them to move to a different state. And it was just like suddenly everything started lining up.
Like a thrusting.
He said it. Yeah. And it was like, they didn't even have everything that they thought they needed or that they were concerned about was taken care of. And it was just like, suddenly it's time to move. Everything worked out. Mm-hmm. And just instructions, like God will give us instructions, and those instructions he gives us of what to do next is an invitation. And it's an opportunity for us to recognize that he's inviting us into a leap.
Mm-hmm. I've had a really big experience in my life with that thrusting dynamic. And, you know, I've actually read with people that have studied how God uses guidance factors in people's lives. And, you know, he'll use different guidance factors in people's lives based on their temperament and how he's fashioned their heart. Mm. And some people that are more maybe slow to change or to, you know, reticent to take a step, he will, it seems, maybe use that thrusting action, you know.
Yeah.
He may turn on those rocket engines and you just can't believe the ride you're on and how it all worked out. But I had a big season in my life like that. That was exactly like that. You know, should people learn to, you know, if they're in the Word, if they're in prayer, should they learn to trust? Maybe they need to trust their instincts more, or like a sanctified desire, or you know, not have to wait for some thunderbolt to come down or some angel from on high, but maybe God has put something in their heart that's trying to surface and come out. What would you say about that?
I would say my sheep know my voice, right? That's what the Bible tells us. And so, yeah, the discernment that you have and recognizing the voice of God and how he speaks to you is going to be very important. And that doesn't mean he's going to speak to you the same way every time, but there is a consistency in his nature. So as you are praying, as you're listening to his voice, as you're reading the word, as you're seeking confirmation, you will know that God is speaking to you about this next thing. So sometimes it starts off by just this little, and I guess I could call it a nudge, or just this feeling something is, I think that God is wanting me to do something, or you pay attention to something and it pricks you. And it may be before it didn't, you know, it was like, okay, I could see that and it didn't bother me or it didn't stop me and make me think any deeper. That's usually a good starting place to say, okay, God, are you moving me in the direction? And what I encourage people to do is, when you get that nudge, when you get that, you know, prick, when you sense that God is saying something, that doesn't mean jump into a fool, but begin to lean into it some.
What does
that mean?
Yeah.
Ask, you know, have a conversation with someone.
Sure.
You know, start maybe doing some research. It doesn't mean you have to like drop everything, but let God know that you heard him by your action.
Sure.
By what you do next.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe test it and do sort of like a minimum viable product approach to it, you know, and do it, do it on the side and begin to test it and continue praying, continue staying in the Word, right?
Right. Yep, exactly.
See if there's fruit there. See if there's counsel there from others. And now, you know, when you think about people at church, there's a lot of course, people that attend church and sit in pews, and they may be involved in their church in some way. They may not be. They just may be sort of coming and attending and consuming. But what is your thoughts about the American body of Christ? I mean, how many people are actually even open to what you're talking about here? Maybe that's a way to ask it.
That's a really good question. I believe, and just from my experience, that there are a lot of people who they know this, but I think there's a lot of fear that hinders us from understanding what it looks like to obey and listen to God. You know, the church as a whole in the Western culture, there's an awakening that needs to happen, but I don't even want to use that word. There is a way that we need to understand how we need to consume the word. What I find is that we're used to this quick consumption of the word, and mm-hmm. we want to get a full meal, and we want to stay sustained off of these bite sizes and these small consumptions of the word.
Okay.
But in order for us to grow and encounter God the way that He wants us to, so that we're not afraid to step into the next thing, mm-hmm. we have to be open to the consumption of the word that sustains us and that keeps us. So as a whole, you know, and it's hard for me to speak fully because I know that in other cultures and other spaces, they consume it differently, but I don't know exactly how they do, but I do know that in the Western culture, what's been a common thing is that they speak to this laxness that we have because we have so much that's already given to us. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that's everyone. Mm-hmm. I want to say that. I don't think that's everyone. I think what we see in the forefront are those people that tend to be more lax. But there are people who they may not be right up front, but they're doing the work behind the scenes that's really speaking to them wanting to be consumed by the word of God and to minister His word. And we don't see those people because they're occupied. They're occupying until He comes.
Okay. Yeah. I had an uncle tell me once, he was a minister, and he told me that, look, what you're currently doing, do it so well that God has to promote you, you know?
That's good.
So if somebody is serving, like even behind the scenes or in a hiddenness, and many times God will have us serve in those ways.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus seemed to talk about that, you know, if you're giving, don't tell people about it. If you're fasting, don't let it be known. You know, if you're praying, don't be all PR about it. Just pray in your secret. Your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly.
Will reward you openly. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I do think that's, we're going to begin to see that, where people who have been stewarding the call well mm-hmm. in secret, I believe that we're getting ready to see them step up in some way mm-hmm. and God is about to elevate them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And with that, as we're being mentored, mentor others, as you're doing, right? Bring others along and invite them to a similar pathway that God would have for them. And in all of that happening, thinking of Hebrews now, you know, stimulate one another to love and good deeds, you know, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, but stimulate one another to love and good deeds, you know, motivate, animate others. And all of that's rising. It's like the boats are rising. God's kingdom is advancing. God's story is unfolding. People are coming into the body of Christ, as you said. Yeah. Interesting. Interesting dynamic. And I don't know. I think that there is a good dose of passivity in the American church and consumption of the word. I would challenge, I mean, we have great preaching, great teaching, and you need to have a strong private word life and prayer life as well. But in that, you're going to learn to pick up God's voice signature, and don't be surprised if He begins to nudge you and speak to you then about a very particular pathway and calling and assignment, you know, as you pick up that voice signature through the word.
Right. But and if I could say this, I do. One thing that I'm learning in this season is that elevation from God doesn't always look like everyone sees you all the time. You know, I know people who God is starting to give them this beautiful platform because He can entrust them with more intimate conversations with people in spaces, but it's still not like on national TV. So I don't people to feel like if He's not putting you, like making you go viral, then you know what I mean? Because our minds go to virality. It goes to
virality.
I get this opportunity to, you know, speak on this thing. But for the public reward that God gives does not always equate to a big influence. It could literally be something that God reveals publicly. He could establish your name in a way publicly that could go that lines up with who you are in him. And that's the public reward, because say your family line, the name has been torn down and he's reestablishing through you the name of your family line. Mm. So that public reward can look so different, but our minds equated to going viral or to getting on this platform or to getting this deal. And that's not always what the public reward will look like.
Okay. Excellent. Excellent point and perspective. I mean, we don't want to get too shallow, do we, with Americanism, the way it tends
right,
to be
right.
Americanism that works in the church, you know, virality, social media, et cetera. I mean, there is a kingdom virality that's like leaven that's behind the scenes and, you know,
yeah.
Right? I mean,
don't get me on that, please.
That is the real deal, actually, and not just a shallow social presence that doesn't really bear fruit. Mm,
yeah, yeah, that's what you mean.
People.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
I love the way that God works. Even God himself, Rachel, you know, there's scriptures that say God remains hidden.
Yeah.
I mean, he could rip the skies open right now and stick his face down and just let us, you know, tell us, you know, tell the world. But God remains. I mean, there's a time where it's not going to be hidden, and that's coming.
Right.
But even God works in hidden ways and in quiet ways, our God himself. So, okay. So if somebody's primed and wants to lean into this, as you say, what's a good next step for them to take?
Yeah. So the first thing I would encourage you is just think and ask God, what's the last instructions that you gave me? And make sure that you have done what he has asked you in that last thing. A lot of times we want to move on to the next thing.
Right.
We get excited. But there's something he told us to do that prepares us for the thing he wants us to step into. So I would encourage you to ask God, like, what is the last thing
complete
that you asked me to do, complete that last
finish
thing.
Finish it well. Yes.
Yes. And then he'll begin to show you what's next, because that's just how God is. He's a moving God. So he's ready to reveal the plans, but he doesn't want to overwhelm us with the next steps. And he always prepares us for the plan that he wants us to do next. So begin to pay attention to how has he been preparing you for what's next? How has he been preparing you already in past seasons for what he's asking you to lean into next? And then go from there.
Mm. I love in section 3 of your book, the section's called Your Leaping Path. Mm-hmm. And you have I'm calling it a protocol, like your prayer plan, your posture of preparation. You're doing something with the P words here, right?
Yes, I am.
Petition, which is prayer, and propel. And then, of course, in your appendix, the principle of perseverance. I love that sequence, though, the prayer, preparation, petition, and then propel. It all starts with prayer, doesn't it? Prayer is so foundational. And then out of that, we can prepare and we can perform. We can propel forward as God
leads
us.
And I think that we've become almost prayer has become that word that's almost like cliche that everyone just uses, and we are just like, okay, I'll pray for it. But we don't understand the essential nature of it before we do anything. And I'm not going to say that no one understands, but often we miss how essential it is to everything else. Everything needs to begin and end in prayer. We want God's stamp on it from the beginning. We want a seal from the beginning and all the way through the end of it. And so beginning with prayer, but then ending with persevering, because the leap isn't always going to be easy. It's not always going to be comfortable. So that's why this book ends with just, this is how you can persevere through this. We are called to persevere. He is with us every step of the way. It's going to end good, but there are some practical ways that I talk about and just persevering through the challenges that may come up against us that make us think, did I hear God right?
Yeah.
Did I do the right thing?
Sure.
You know, all those question things, we have those moments. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And others are watching, right? I mean, your family, your children, if you have grandchildren, or your friends, other members in the body of Christ are watching the modeling and the, you know, the faithful perseverance that you're exerting, right? And no one ever said this was going to be easy. I don't know why we would think that.
Right.
We do it by grace and by faith, but there's still exertion, right? We have to exert and work.
Yes. I always say leapers are leaders. Most of the time when you're leaping, you've got about 2-3 other people that God is trying to lead into something else, and they see you and they get encouraged by your testimony, your story. I mean, there's leaps I've taken where I would get phone calls afterwards like, God has been leading me. How did you do it? You know, leapers are leaders, and it's supposed to be that way. It's not copycatting. It's that God is allowing you to be the first person to do it for the other people to follow.
Yeah, I was thinking of the scripture, you know, I think it's David, by my God, I can leap over a wall. I can crush a troop, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, God can put his sizzle on you and you can do it, but we do have to accept it and posture ourselves. We got to pray. We got to start working at it. I love this. What other resources, if somebody wants to take this further, I mean, you have your website, rachelgscott.com.
Yes.
What other resources do you have for people to just continue to motivate them and inspire them and inform them?
Yeah. So if you go to my website, rachelgscott.com, I have a quiz on there. Oh. And that specific quiz teaches you what is your natural leap style? Like, what do you naturally do that'll come easier?
Excellent.
And then how to navigate some of the other ones that are a little bit harder. Then, of course, I have the book, Taking the Five Leaps, and that's on rachelgscott.com. So the book and the leaps. And then I have a community of women called Women on the Wall. That's a Facebook community and collective. And that is just really, we're all taking these leaps and we're just encouraging each other as we live a leaping lifestyle.
Yeah, that's Nehemiah, right? I'm not coming down from the wall. I've got a great...
That's right.
A great work.
I can't come down. Nehemiah 6:3.
Okay. And the book, of course. And you know what, friends, I'm a big fan of books. And I got a little chip on my shoulder about books, Rachel. Okay. I see stats of people that don't read another book even after they come out of college. And to me, it's just unbelievable. I just don't understand it. The discipline of reading a book and just marking it up, doing a little prayer over it, if it's one of those books for you at that moment, you know, and beginning to activate, it really cannot be understated. And can I just encourage people to, I don't know, do what you got to do. Turn Netflix down, dial it down, dial your reading up, or else, you know, we're not going to meet this moment, Rachel. We're not going to meet this opportunity that's before us. It's going to take a little bit of sacrifice. And okay, that's my chip. I got that off. And there's a few chips I carry around and just try to share them gently once in a while, Rachel. I don't want to be too offensive or abrasive, but you know. All right. I really appreciate you, Rachel. And I know that there's a price to pay for this. You know, a good author, it comes out of the authentic lifestyle, you know?
Yes.
It's not just something you write up the top of your cranium. I mean, it comes from your core of your life. And you've invested in that and paid that. And you'll continue to do it because that's the type of person you are. I appreciate this. So would you pray over us, Rachel, as we draw this in for a conclusion today? Would you just pray for the listener today and for ourselves?
Yes, absolutely. Dear gracious and heavenly Father, God, I just thank you. Lord, I thank you for the great work that you are doing in Brian's life and in the listeners' lives, Lord God. I thank you for just your ability to encourage us through fellowship and through conversations, but most importantly, through your word, God. And so I pray that today, that as each person was listening, Lord God, something, a scripture came to mind, a sermon that they maybe heard came to mind, a message that you have been putting on their heart, words you have been speaking to them in their quiet time, that you did that you'll begin to water the seeds that were being planted today, Lord God, so that it is not on rocky soil, God, but that it flourishes. That's and right. becomes exactly what you want it to be, God. And so I just bless them. I bless the hearers of this conversation. And God, I just thank you. I thank you for the opportunity to partner with you in writing this book and getting this message out. Lord, this is your message and I'm just a messenger. And so I humble myself to the message that you have placed before me to share with others, God. And I just pray that they would receive the words that you have for them to step into all that you call them to do in this hour, God. We know that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And so I just ask that the laborers that you are speaking to right now would be revived to step into what you've called them to do.
That's right.
They would know that they are not alone. They would look for your goodness and your faithfulness every step of the way. God, thank you for Brian and just his commitment to this podcast and for his willingness to have these conversations and to pour into people and to remind them of who you are and to point them to just the truth of your word and the truth of your goodness through this podcast. I bless and worship you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Yeah. Lord, at the core of our being, we love serving you. And even though there may be times around the surface of our soul or something, we struggle or get fatigued or get discouraged, deep down, we love serving you. And we will always serve you into the new heavens and into the new earth. And all along the way, God, we ask for your sizzle to be on us. We ask for your courage.
Yes.
The courage of the Lion of Judah in us, God. And make us standout people for your glory, we pray, in your kingdom and in service to you. We thank you, Lord. Appreciate you, Rachel. I'll get in touch with your husband, Willie, but just tell him. We love his spirit.
Yes, and
we love his joy. You guys are a special couple. I appreciate you.
Thank you. I appreciate you too, Brian. Thank you so much for having me.
Do you like what you heard today? You can bake it into your life. You can begin to build it into your life today with action, action, action. Take action on some step, no matter how small. Maybe it's just beginning to pray. Maybe it's journaling. Maybe it's talking with someone. Maybe it's probing and poking on something. Let's move on what we just heard. Check out Rachel G. Scott at her site, rachelgscott.com. Her book, Taking the Five Leaps, published by Moody. It's available there as well as on Amazon and all the usual channels. You can take everything further today at jesussmart.com/306 on today's theme. Let's make a dent for King Jesus. Let's make a difference.